was rampant. Everything was looking up. But below the surface, there was greed and injustice and festering sores of hypocrisy. The hypocritical religious motion had replaced true worship, the motion of worship, creating a false sense of security and a growing callousness to God's disciplining hand. And that's what the message was. But if we look a closer look, we see that in this time and era, there was famine, there was drought, there was plagues, there was death, there was destruction. Nothing can drive them to their knees. Are we listening, people? There are four divisions in the book. The eight prophecies in 1:1 through 2:16, the three sermons he preached in 3:1 to 6:14, the five visions that he related in 7:1 to 9:10 give the meaning of those, and then the five promises that God made in 9:11 through verse 15, coursing a time of events of 560 to 753 B.C. The theme is picked up in the book. It's dealing with the day of the Lord. Day of the Lord, chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. Isaiah spoke of the day of the Lord in 13:6. Jeremiah spoke of the day of the Lord in 46:10. Joel spoke of the day of the Lord in 2:31. In the New Testament, Luke 12:40 talks about it. Revelation 3:3. Also Matthew 25, Jesus in that account. 25:32 and 2 Peter 3:10 and 13 and verse 14. All speaks of the judgment. The judgment because of unbelief. Unbelief. Let's look at this from a standpoint, folks, tonight, that we need to realize as the people. I don't have my mic here. Well, here it is. Maybe is it working? And I'll tell you something else I'm gonna do before I get hot. I've already got hot. You don't care, do you? Their lack of a commitment to what God had said, God's talking to them. Of his day. We see that he brings an indictment against his nation. He declares them that they are going to reap the harvest of exactly what they have sown and have been sowing the past years. And he's saying to them that you can talk about it all you want to, but they were living in the lap of luxury. They were having their own selfish desires. He indicted the nation with being guilty of apathy and indifference toward God, and also the condition of their nation as a whole. It's time that we realize, just like they realize, that everything is not all well in Zion. Look at verse with me. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. In Amos 6, starting in verse 1, we'll be alluding to several other passages, and this thing done fell off. Amos 6, verse 1 through 6, we'll read tonight. It says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye to Calneth and see, and from thence go to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. But be they better than these kingdoms?" Question mark. "Are their borders greater than your borders?" Question mark. "Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat of the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointment, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Is all well in Zion? Let's pray together. Once again, Lord, we bow to give you thanks for today. We thank you for the very opportunity that we have to come and to worship you. We thank you for all that you make possible. We come, Lord, realizing that we stand in need to hear from you. And God, I pray tonight that through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you will take the word, the written word of God, and you will make it known unto us that we may recognize and understand how you deal with people, how you deal with the individual, how you deal collectively with people and nations. And I pray, oh God, tonight that you would just work and do that which only you can. You know our needs before we ask. You know exactly, Lord, everything about us. You know the very hairs of our head. The Bible says that they're numbered, and you know exactly the sum of them. So we come before a God that knows it all and knows everything. And Lord, we thank you for that, because we realize that in and of ourselves, we are absolutely nothing apart from you. So I pray tonight, oh God, that once again, you will just be in our midst in a special way, that you will walk up and down each and every aisle, each and every pew, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, you'll touch us. And I pray once again, oh God, that you'll take these feeble lips of clay and you'll speak through them the truth of your word, Lord, that we may grow closer to you and to each other, that we may come to recognize exactly what you'd have for us in the time and the age in which we occupy your space and your time, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we as a nation and as a people would wake up and look at the things around us and understand, God, that everything is not all well in Zion. I pray, oh Father, that you'd work, help us to realize that we have a mission, we have a task, and that's the most important thing in the world. Everything else has no significance and no meaning apart from the things of the kingdom of God and the work of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to be open to your will and to your word. Forgive us where we fail you and come short. And Lord, for those tonight that are less fortunate than we, those that were mentioned in our prayer room, Lord, those that are going through the difficult and trying times of life, we pray, God, for your divine intervention through the power of your Spirit to work in the circumstance of their lives and do that which only you can. And even now, Lord, as an act of faith on our part collectively as we pray, we're going to thank you and to praise you for what you're going to do. For we ask it in that name above every name, yes, Jesus Christ our Lord and soon coming King. Amen. As we look at the condition of the people that Amos was preaching to and prophesying to, and a lot of folks said that they thought that Amos was a prophet of doom, and he was a prophet of doom, but because he was there prophesying meant that God still cared and desired the best for them. And God made some promises in the close of the book that if they heeded those things that God had asked of them and God would desire them to do, then they could find the very favor of God and the mercy of God. And let me tell you something, folks, if there's anything that we need today, we need the favor of God and we need the mercy of God. And as I read through this and I looked at this, I saw that we could fit, you know, America right in the midst of this because of the things that's going on in our nation and the things around us. First of all, if we look at this very close, we can see being at ease in Zion brings self-satisfaction, and that is complacency, my friend. That means we become cold, complacent, and many times we get comfortable in our own comfort zone, our own religion, however you want to put it. And this is exactly the way they were. They did not have eyes to see the things reality as they were. They could not see their spiritual condition, and therefore God sent Amos to relate to them and to share with them and to bring them to recognize that things are not all as they thought they were. First of all, what is the condition of complacency? And it's described in verses 1 through 6. If we look at it very close, we see their custom, their dress, their perfumes were of the richest kind. That's what it says there in verse 4. We also see they enjoyed the richest of food and the rarest delicacies available. The last part of verse 4, those calves that were stall fed, those things. They were in the pursuit of pleasure was their chief objective. We read that in verse 5 as they wanted to satisfy their own being, their own character, their own person, if you please. And let me tell you something. We're living in a day that is not any different from that day because of the things that's going on in our world today, in our own America today. When you think about what America spends to entertain themselves every year, I picked up some statistics on this. Did you know that last year we spent on recreation $332,824,000,000, nearly $33 billion annually to entertain ourselves, to satisfy our hunger and our longing for whatever you want to call it. We also see also in the process of this that only $392 million were given to foreign missions, $410 million was bought or sold or dog food. That's how much spent buying dog food. I'll get it out directly. Tongue's tied, twisted. So we see that where we are and what's the problem. See, American Christians give less, according to last standards, less than 0.1% to foreign missions. We're living in a day and age, folks, when we need to recognize that God has chosen us, and I believe this is one of the reasons that God has protected us, is because as America, we know that we're one of those nations that are going into the world to carry the gospel. And let me tell you something, we can get so wrapped up in that we forget about the gospel at home. But we're one of those nations that God has blessed us to be able to do that. And maybe that's the reason God has kept us the way he has. But let me tell you something, when we recognize that the American communists that's living in America in the world, they give 38% of their gross income for their causes. We can look at others. You look at Islam. You look at the billions and trillions of dollars they spent on a mosque so that they can gather together and promote, if you please, their things that's in direct contradiction to God, and they had the blessing of our government upon them. Folks, there's something wrong in America today, and we need to wake up to the fact that God is going to judge America if we do not respond to God, if we do not turn to God and look to God for what he wants. I can see many things that's happening in our country. You can too. All you need to do is look at the news or pick up a newspaper. You see all these things that's going on in America. When we call ourselves, we call ourselves a Christian America. Israel, at that time, they thought they were God's gift to the rest of the world. But let me tell you something. Amos warned them of the impending danger of their complacency. And we need to wake up to the fact, folks, that we cannot get complacent in our religious stand. We need to recognize that God has called us, and he's called us for a purpose, and that purpose is to share the gospel, to carry the message to the world round about us. We can sit back so many times from so many Christians. They think when they get saved, that's all there is to it. All I need to do is come to church and sit on my holy haunches and let everything go just like it's been going. But let me tell you something. God has called us for a purpose, and that is to share and relate the message of the gospel. We know that Israel was called out. They were called out as a peculiar people. They were called out as a separate people. You go back even to the call of Abraham. Go back there to the 12th chapter. You see that God said, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. You're going to be a blessing. And I believe that's what God has called us to be, is a blessing to the rest of the world. Folks, we need to wake up. Look at it with me just a moment. Verse 6 reveals that they were given over to drunkenness. They took the sacred bowls that were used in worship, and they drunk their booze out. Did you know last year that we spent over $16 billion in alcoholic beverages in America? Just think about that. Hey, that would help with our deficit, would it not? But see, we don't think about that. See, that is the fastest growing drug problem we have in America today. Is alcoholism. It affects the old, it affects the medians, and it's affecting our young people today. We need to wake up, folks. There's something drastically wrong. If we don't recognize this, we need to understand that this is exactly the problem in their day. I was visiting one of our so-called Christian homes several months ago. I guess I kind of surprised the young man there because he took his beer and he set it behind a picture and a lamp on the table. Little two-year-old boy got it while he wasn't looking and took him a sip of it. And he says, you're not supposed to drink that. You can't drink what I drink. My God, if the youngin' can't drink it, he ought not be drinking it. Amen? When we think about trying to hide things, if you have to hide it, you know good and well it's wrong. And here we are. What are we coming to as a nation? What are we coming to as a people? It's tragic, but it's true that when a person is in their prosperity and everything is going right, they get to the point that they feel like the church and the things of God are not needed for anymore for him nor his family, because that's what prosperity does many times. So we see their complacency. The cause of this complacency, they were living in a time just like us. It was a post-war period when their nation was enjoying the unrivaled national power, they thought. They were enjoying an unparalleled prosperity. Even their religious activities had become very popular. And let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of that going on today, is it not? When we have so many that are drawn to what we call a worship service, and when there's no real worship to God involved whatsoever. None whatsoever. It is more like a counselor's meeting where he tells you how good you are. You just sit on the couch here, and he'll tell you how good you are and how blessed you are and all these things. And you know, you don't have to worry about sin. I just heard not long ago about the man that they interviewed, one of our TV evangelistic preachers, our tele-evangelist, if you please. And they asked him, what did he think about sin? And he says, I believe in sin. He says, do you preach sin? He said, oh, no, we don't preach about sin. He says, that'll run people off. You don't want to run people off. You want to get them in. They ask about Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ. Is he the only way? Yeah, he's the only way. We don't preach that because, see, you'll be narrow-minded. So folks, we need to realize that folks today need to hear the Word of God to be drawn to the God of the Word so that they can be all that God would have them to be. They were living in this kind of time. They placed great trust in their military strength. Their strength for security. That's what it says there in 6:1. They had a tendency to dismiss all serious thoughts concerning the possibility of a peril that would fall on their nation. That's what it talks about there in verse 3. Ye put far away all the evil days and caused the seed of violence to come near. See, they'd put it out of their mind. If you put it out of your mind, it'll go away, right? Not on your life. Next thing, their pursuit of profit and prosperity and pleasure was considered the most important thing in their life. The question, do we consider more profit in the pocketbook than we do the lasting benefits that we get out of his book? Do we? Which is more important? Their hard-heartedness was an indictment against their lack of a compassion, their lack of concern. They had no grief for their problem. They were in sickness, and the nation was in sickness, terrible sickness. Let me tell you something. We don't need to look too far, because we need to realize as America, we have got a problem. We have got a problem. I've got news for you. It is not the economy that's the problem either. It is not the economy. We've got a spiritual problem, and it's called S-I-N, sin. And let me tell you something. You follow any nation before, and you find out exactly the same thing, that when sin and they get in rebellion against God, disobedient to God, they fall flat on their faces. But any nation that repents and turns to God, God blesses that nation. God restores that nation. And let me tell you something, folks. In America, we need that today, do we not? I'm not a prophet. I'm like Amos. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But they were standing on the brink, if you please, of either prosperity or God's judgment. And I believe we're at the same place in our history today. I heard a prediction just this past week that by 2016, if it lasts that long, that our economy will go to nothing. Meaning that we wake up like it was during the war between the states. Wake up and their Confederate money was not worth the paper it was wrote on. That's exactly the way ours will be. So pile it all up you want. You just have a bunch of paper you can burn, start a fire with later on. We're in a position, folks, we're in a position as a people, and especially as the church today, that we need to wake up and we need to look at how things are. Because, see, they could not understand. They did not want to understand. What was the cause? What is the cause of our complacency? It is a trust on our military strength today. I believe we have that. But you know what? According to the last statement or last readings, I believe we're about third or fourth in line of military strength. So how good is that? They were dismissing the thought of the peril of the day of judgment, the day that was to come. Amos spoke about that in 5. Just turn over there. Look back at 5, verse 21 and following. Chapter 5, verse 21 and following. He says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat. And that term there means the very fattest of your beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not bear I will not hear the melody of your vows. But let judgment run down as water, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifice and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Chilim, your images, the stars of your gods, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts, or the God Almighty, the one who's in charge of it all. And that's what God is saying to them. Wake up. Look around. See what's going on. We need to recognize that we cannot sit in our houses of complacency and worship in our church of meaningful worship and still be what God would have us to be. They were in the pursuit of profit. In the pursuit of profit. That was their goal. That was their driving, motivating force. Did you know that America is only 1/6 of the population and holds nearly 6/10 of the world's, or 60% of the world's wealth today? I'm talking about the physical wealth, money, material money. How long are other nations going to put up and tolerate with that? I don't know. They were so hard-hearted. Their lack of concern for the spiritual things of God, for the cares of others. God says, I can't even stand your worship. Look at the calamity and the captivity is to befall the nation like this. Amos was probably considered a radical. Probably a nut, if you please. A very pessimistic individual. He was like a religious fanatic who did not know what he was talking about. That's exactly what they thought about Amos. You know why? Because they did not heed what he said. Judgment is the advancing enemy. He warns them of that in 6:1-7. We read through 6 and also verse 9 through 11, and also verse 14. It talks about that. We need to take a long look at history, folks. We need to just sit back and look at history. We need to see how nation after nation after nation that has fallen disobedient to God has fallen prey to his judgment. His judgment. Let me tell you something. America is no different. None whatsoever. I believe this is Marshall Dixon theology. You can take it for what you want, but I believe if God does not judge America for her disobedience to him, starting at the White House right on down, that he is going to have to resurrect, if you please, all those that drowned at the flood of Noah and all those that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to have to resurrect them and apologize them because they were no different than we are. You say, preacher, that's kind of hard. Well, the Word of God says it. We need to understand more of man's nature and God's interest, God's care, God's concern. There is a cure. There is a cure. There's a remedy for complacency. Amos was looked upon as a prophet of doom. Why? Because the people did not respond. They did not do what he told them. The truth that he related to them, exactly what God had said for him to tell them. They did not respond. It was said he offered no hope. But if you take inventory of the whole book, you can see that there was hope. Why? Because the fact that God was using him as his spokesman, as his mouthpiece to them, would indicate that he was concerned with them, and there was some hope left. And I've got news for you tonight. I've got news for you that there's some hope, folks. There's still some hope for America. There's hope because when we understand and realize that we get back to what God would have us to be, God will bless when we repent, when we turn to him. As it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land and I will forgive them. Folks, we need to understand that that is not just for revival. That's for life itself and living as the people of God. Exactly what Paul said, the recipe there is found in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to push you and to pressure you into its mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. When we understand that God still cares, all the ritual in the world could not and will not compensate for their unrighteousness. It will not ours either. They were faithful to carry on their ritual, their tradition of meeting, but it was not real worship. God said, your sacrifice, you're wrong, we read that, it's a stench into my nostril. So, why did they think they were at ease in Zion? It's because they were blinded to the fact of the reality around them. Blinded to the fact of the reality around them. Let me tell you something. We have a system today that's in effect. They will help you to blind you to the fact and the reality of what's going on in our world today. It's the news media, much of it, because they'll tell you everything is fine and good, everything is right when it is not. When it is not. I read just this past week, no, I didn't read, I heard it this past week. You probably heard it too, about the school teacher that got Teacher of the Year down in Florida last year. Teacher of the Year put on her Facebook about how she thought about what she thought consummated or caused a marriage, a one man and one woman. That was what she put on there. And did you know that she was called on the carpet and fired because of that stand that she put and made? What are we coming to, folks? What are we coming to? When we cannot relate to a lost and dying world, our convictions and our belief, let me tell you something. There's something drastically going on wrong. Drastically going on wrong. When we have that attitude like they did of complacency, and our action and activity is a do-nothing attitude, we're facing the same thing they faced, and that's the judgment of God. The day of the Lord is spoken of through the book, through the book. And it talks about the judgment of God that's coming, the judgment of God on sin and disobedience. Tonight, I do not know your heart, but I know the one that does. And we as a people, I believe we as a people in the church tonight, we need to once again commit ourselves to God and say, God, I want you to use me, whatever the cost may be. If I lose my job like this teacher in Florida, so be it. You got something greater and better for me. Because, God, I want to trust you, and I want to let the world know that I'm your child and I'm concerned about our society. I'm concerned about our country. We have a responsibility to love the sinner, but not to tolerate the sin. You say, that's a fine line, preacher. No, it's not. Because when a person comes to recognize and understand understand their relationship with Jesus Christ and everything is made right and proper, then we can respond to them and expect them exactly the way God does. I mean, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That's the way we should respond. But I do not believe, and I want to state this very emphatically, I do not believe that we as a people of God have to tolerate sinful deeds at the pleasures of those who are in control that are leading us. I believe we need to make a statement and a stand against the wrong things and a stand for the right things for God's glory. What we need is the showers of God's blessings as a nation and on our nation. I shared in the men's group tonight, I had a friend call from Texas this evening. June the 2nd is the last time they've had any rain. June the 2nd. They've had 40, where he's at, they had 47 days over 100 temperature. Today it said it was 117. Trees dying. Ponds dried up. Four in this place, three of them dried up. We need the shower of God's blessing. My prayer and my heart's desire is that God would send the rain of his blessings on our ground, our crops, our being, but also to send the shower of his blessings on us as a people of God, that we may be all that he would have us to be for his glory. Listen to the words of this song. Father, we bow to give you thanks for today. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege of worship. We pray, Lord, that as we come to you, before you, that, Lord, you'll help us to recognize and understand exactly our condition spiritually. Lord, and if there's one here that does not know you, has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that this may be the day and the hour they say yes to Jesus. Because of the impending judgment that's coming, the judgment on sin, Lord, we pray that you'll help them to realize, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no solution, there is no remedy. But through him, we can know and have that right relationship with Almighty God. And I pray, Lord, that we as a people of God today may wake up to the fact that we need to stand up and to be counted for the glory of God. Help us to understand that we may need to be like an Amos. We might have to stand alone. We might have to be ridiculed. We might have to be persecuted. Lord, but help us to stand, and having done all to stand, having our loins girded about with the truth of your word, the breastplate of righteousness, Lord, that we may share your blessed word with a lost and dying world that's headed headlong to hell. Oh God, do that which only you can. And even now, we're going to thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' strong name and for his sake and glory. Amen. Hymn of invitation.